This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is a company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. It's Friday. It's wrap-up time. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stoffgold.
Yeah, guys, remember, it's the wrap-up show. So, you know, the week of the 23rd, we're going to be chatting about our two guests, DeMartini and Frank Zane.
It's been huge, man, to think that both these guys have been on our radar since we've been young men, and we've been following both for a long, long time. Both bring something different to the table, which I think is fantastic, but at the same time, I think their philosophies and their work rate really speaks for itself.
Yeah, the common denominators are their experience. We have over 130 years of experience between Frank and DeMartini. And the experience with, I'll touch base with DeMartini real quick, you know, having interviewed him in his hotel room, being able to analyze and see his movements, how this guy carries himself. He's a very confident but very kind individual. I was really impressed with his professionalism and his demeanor. I mean, he's brushed shoulders with Oprah, speaks highly of him. You know, if you guys are familiar with the book and the movie The Secret, it's a lot of it is about John DeMartini's law of attraction, and the secret to your happiness is identifying what you want and putting plans of attack ahead to get to where you want to go.
I think that's key, though, because he did mention it a few times in your interview, that being crystal clear about what you want and then creating that plan, because there's a difference between obviously dreams and goals, because a dream is just the end result, while a goal, while it's an end result, you also need to bring that process into place. So doing something every day to kind of get towards that, sort of, instead of just jumping straight thinking it's just going to happen overnight.
And guys, I think the biggest part, maybe the most main important factor of the goals and doing something every day, is selling, buying into yourself. Sell out about yourself. Believe in yourself, and the rest will fall into place. So many people will just go day by day and just half in, half out, this wishy-washy world of wanting to do different or wanting to evolve or wanting to learn a new skill. But unless you fully commit to that and believe in yourself and have the people supporting you, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I think breaking it down makes it a lot more realistic and a lot simpler for people too. Not everyone's into to-do lists, and it's just something that I do like because I'm a little bit structured, but I do find that breaking it down day by day and just finding simple little tasks to help me get to that next goal is something that I do like.
Yeah, so I'm not into to-do lists every day, but I do them, and I feel that I utilize to-do lists when I'm getting overwhelmed. For instance, if I have 3 business meetings that I have within a 12-hour period and I have to contact a client, I have to maybe do a video here, and all of that's in my head, then I'll put that down. And that's where my journal comes into play. But it's not one of these things that I wake up each day with intent of, all right, where's my pen and book? Where's my journal? Write my to-do list. It's one of these things that have evolved that I intrinsically feel that I need to express these things down because it's starting to get cluttered.
Yeah. Another good one that I read this week as well was a not-to-do list. It was actually quite interesting. And I just experimented that with that a little bit this week with a little bit of a success. So it was only, I kept it very, very brief because I feel that starting small is big instead of just trying to overwhelm myself with something huge straight away. So mine was just quite simple. And the two things I put on there was to keep my phone on airplane mode till 30 minutes after waking, because I just got in the process of checking emails and Facebook as soon as I woke up, and it was just getting me in a little bit of a bad mood straight away sometimes, because sometimes you have to get straight into business mode instead of trying to actually go through the process of waking up and getting some good nutrition and just having a shower and being on time. So it was just getting me a little bit away from that. And also I put my phone on airplane mode and set myself up half an hour before I go to sleep now, which also avoids me kind of touching my phone before I go to bed.
I feel though it all comes down to what type of personality you are and what works for you, and more importantly than what works for you, what doesn't work for you. If you guys are out there listening and you know the common daily practice just isn't enough right now, I think that's what you need to focus on. Not so much what these people, what these influencers, your Tim Ferriss's of the world, your Gary V's of the world telling you to do. Let's see what you're doing and then see, all right, what do I need to do differently, rather than adapting and adopting somebody else's system first, because everybody's different. Everybody's lifestyle is different. The extraneous variables of your work life, maybe you have kids. So what works for person A, B, and C might not work for you. So I think it's really important to understand who you are, what DeMartini talked about.
I agree.
What you want. And then from there, all right, how can I make this applicably and also make it make sense and practical in my life?
Yeah, I feel that, you should find your own, but it's always great to experiment to see what the others are doing and just see if it works for you. If it doesn't, it's not that great to be a copycat, but it's always great to see what other people are doing. And if you can pick it up and go with it, I feel that's something that has worked for me. But like you said, different personalities will have different traits. So, I think I agree with you in terms of find your own way, definitely.
Like, I feel that it's kind of sexy right now. It's a sexy thing to do, to go against the grain. You have these guys who, you know, don't do vision boards or don't make lists. And it's kind of like, I don't know if this is clickbait. But also what I find is that when it comes to the social media, the detachment sort of thing, I think it's really important to understand what you're using each one for, to have intent with it. Because, like, when I wake up, it's not one of these things that I even think about. It's just, it's part of my process to express. It's kind of like a modern day journal almost, because if you're not expressing what's in you, if you're just harboring that and you're not doing any type of meditation, if you're not doing any type of whatever, maybe it's writing, singing, acting, and you're just going to your 9-to-5 and you're pressing buttons on the computer and you're just waiting for the weekend, I think that's where it becomes an issue with, like, where is your systems, what is your daily routine, and how you said you wake up madder. Like, I think that we... You said that you wake up mad?
No, I don't wake up mad. I said I wake up sometimes irritated from reading an email or being on Facebook.
Okay.
Because that's the first thing that I expose myself to.
So, like, switching off.
That's
right
why
away.
I'm trying to switch off, because I think that first half an hour is very, very important to actually, you know, wake up and just reflect on what you want to do that day instead of always being in that chase mode in terms of having to answer email straight away, or you see something on Facebook you might not like. Do you know what I mean? You're always in that chase mode. So that's just something I'm trying to do to switch off.
Yeah, I think that the best thing for you then is to be able to compartmentalize what time, like, what you're going to distribute your energy expenditure towards through that first 2 hours of your day. Like, if you're correlating the stresses from social media to job, to your work, to your career, then don't touch it. Take that first hour with, like,
when you think about it, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean? Like, you've got another 17 hours to do plenty of work. I don't think answering an email straight away sometimes isn't the most productive thing to do. You know what I mean?
See, the way I look at it, though, is that some days I'll wake up with 30 emails, and 15 of those are from people I've never spoke to and want me to help them. 10 of those are from clients that I'm going to see and talk to that day. So my headspace is, I'm up, I'm outworking everybody. First off, if you're not up before me, I'm already outworking you. Second off, if I'm up, I have to be in this time of my life a grinder. So that's the way we're all different though.
Yeah, you know, it's like, just about, for
I
me,
have to get
now,
above that
creating,
curve.
Creating efficiency, I think. Just trying to work out where it fits for me. And I think I might just take a bit of a back step, because I know John Romanello actually doesn't check email, I think it is, before I was following him for a while. I think he doesn't check it before like 10 a.m. or something. And I think that's something that's worked really, really well for him in terms of creating efficiency and creating little blocks of time in his actual space to actually... Yeah, so he's got like a two-hour window where he answers those first emails. And I think it's about him creating efficiencies in his time, which is quite interesting. I think Craig Ballantyne does something very, very similar as well.
Yeah, I like looking at... it's hard for me to follow... Like, I have a really good friend who's a professional, really successful musician, and he once gave me some awesome advice on my career a while back about that when he's writing music, he doesn't listen to the radio, he doesn't listen to any other musicians or artists, because he doesn't want that to affect his creativity. So when it comes to, like, following people, I don't, like, that's not one of the things the way I'm wired to, like, I don't really follow anybody. Only in the aspect of... I feel that we have so much knowledge and technology at our fingertips with all these gadgets just in front of us. We have microphones, recording devices, a tablet, an iPhone. I think that could be, for my personality, a double-edged sword a little bit, because if I could find out knowledge about everything, I'm gonna look for it. And I think if you look too far, if you look too much and you want to know everything, that could sometimes affect creativity. So I'm like all about right now, I like creating things, starting from scratch, ideas, all correlated with my brand and business on how to help people.
Yeah.
So, once again, man, what works for one person doesn't work for everyone else. And it comes down to, you got to know what your intent is. You know, you got to know what your attraction is and where you want that to go, what that looks like. And, you know, like, DeMartini, man, all he's about, law of attraction. He didn't get to where he was. He's not living on a boat. He was only stopped in Sydney for a few days. We'll just say a few hours because he was going to Antarctica. His ship, I thought he was on a cruise ship. No, his ship's docked in there. He gets off and then he does these webinars and people met him at the Sydney Hill and he does a speech, gets off and just continues to travel. He didn't get to that point from that 18-year-old dyslexic kid by not knowing what he wanted. You know, not knowing where, you know, it's the old saying, we must know who we have to become to get to where we want to go.
Yeah.
It's that intent. Frank Zane didn't stand on stage and dominated in the golden age because he was worried about...
Well, Frank was about interesting, that the fact that he didn't worry about anything around him. Like, the fact that he was
He didn't even look at his opponent.
It's not that he's arrogant or anything like that. It's just the fact that he was focused purely on himself instead of people around him. And how much in today's day and age do we focus more on others than yourself? Like, that's a very interesting scenario right now that... You know, you can be in a conversation with a lot of people and they can tell you exactly what Gary Vee did all week. But they've got no idea what they did themselves that week. It's a very awesome sort of point that Frank brought up, and something that if there is a takeaway point from Frank's episode, it's that I think sometimes we lose focus on ourselves.
When it's Monday lunchtime at the health club we both work at, and there's 5,000 members going in and out, and there's 7 different rooms and studios and people everywhere, and you have 35 different coaches with their clients. That's one thing that's a discipline that I practice daily, is to not look at anybody except my client. To have my client feel as comfortable as possible in that chaos just through eye contact and body language. And I think that hearing him say that while he's doing that on stage, when, you know, who's the guy? I'm not 100% well versed on bodybuilding modern day, but I know a lot of that stuff, a lot of these guys are kind of like jinxing each other out behind stage, looking at each other, making fun of each other.
That would be
it. Isn't that what they do?
They'd probably intimidate each other.
What's that newer documentary with I don't know if it's Kai Greene, or you guys are going to kill me. You know, maybe it's Ronnie Coleman. I don't know these bodybuilders.
Nah, it was Kai Greene versus...
With the braids?
What's the other gentleman's name? Maybe I'll quickly just search
with the
that.
Eyes.
But they had this rivalry where they just absolutely talked so much smack to each other.
Yeah.
That it was like a WWE show instead of an actual... Bodybuilding is quite, you know, it's got a lot of history, and, you know, for all its different supplements that gets taken in this huge world of with Kai Greene and all those sort of guys.
Yeah.
It is interesting that the kind of psychology they brought last year and the year before was just like, it's got a little bit out of control.
But to hear Zane say, you know, when he was competing, he wouldn't even make eye contact with people in parallels to what they're doing now. It almost seems like a total contrast.
Oh, big time. And I think that has a lot to do with world sport in general as well. I think the way the professional sport is, even across the NFL, NBA, here back in Australia with the rugby league, I think Like, think about back to the 80s and 70s and things like that in terms of the top professionals back then, the way they conducted themselves back then, and the way they conduct themselves now. There is a bit of a difference.
It's way better now?
No, it's way worse.
Well, I mean, your rugby sport wasn't even a pro sport a few years ago, right? 20 years ago.
It turned professional in 19... So it's always been semi-professional rugby league. So it's kind of been... They've always... Despite the fact that in the 80s they had jobs, they were always the superstars in Australia. So it was still kind of...
So you're saying that they were more professional back then in comparison to today?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of their behavior, in terms of their interaction with
their fans. Are you talking just rugby?
No, I feel it's across all the sports. I feel that I think, in Australia, cricket's another big one, where it went from in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s to a lot of players with personality, where the... And actually happened the other night with, I'm not sure if you watched the Australian Open Tennis, with Kyrgios from Australia.
Teach me. Who's Kyrgios?
So Kyrgios is ranked number 13 in the world. And what they're saying at the moment, so he's got no coach. So he doesn't, on a daily basis, he doesn't train. That's his work ethic. And he's got to number 13 without training. Anyway, the other night he got beaten in the round two of the Australian Open in five sets. But by the fifth set, it nearly felt like he wasn't trying. The fact that he had this mental headspace where he just wasn't there. And you could actually see it. Actually, someone that's best really into it is actually Marianne. And I'm sure that you could probably ask her next week when you're coaching her. She'd probably give you a little bit better insights than I did. But we went through an era in Australian tennis where we had Leighton Hewitt and Pat Rafter. Both guys that actually reached world number one from Australia, which is big because we've got such a small population. But those guys fought for every point, and that's what Australia really loved about them. And I'm sure that they got respect from around the world because they fought for every point. Now, poor Kyrgios, I don't think he's gone through that environment where they taught him how to fight for every point. So Australia just reject him, and which is sad to see because he's such a big talent. And I hope someone does get in his corner and teach him the proper way about fighting for every point, because I think that's very, very important. So that's what happened the other night, and that's something that I have seen from kind of the 70s and 80s, just following that as my childhood grew up, the fact that they were more relatable and the fact that they fought for every point. Now it just seems that there's a lot of professional athletes out there that don't really fight every single time they go on the court or they go on the field. I don't know if you get that same impression.
I don't know, man.
I get that.
I think that's a big generalization because you got guys like, you know, I grew up, my sports were football, baseball, and basketball, and... You know, you had guys like Michael. Like, we hated the Bulls, but my dad would always say, watch Jordan post-game and watch his press conference. And Jordan would be, the day and age in the NBA, everybody was wearing hoodies and joggers and hats flipped over to the back. MJ would be in a suit, creased up, pieced up, speaking very eloquently. And he was super professional, always locked in. You see that now? You see LeBron? LeBron is super professional. You see Steph? I just think it's one of these things, as we get older, we just tend to adapt maybe the mindset of what speaks to us the most. So if we're really into something, we could kind of see things that we don't like. And I don't know if it's one thing that the athletes are getting less professional. I just think we have the technology now to see everything.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't see everything 30 years ago.
Absolutely huge. I just sometimes feel that, you know, you didn't like Michael, right? But you respected the hell out of him.
I revered him, for sure.
Do you get what I mean?
Yep.
And I think that the fans from the opposite side, I don't know, I can't speak for everyone, but just sometimes I just feel just kind of being in an environment with some people that they truly just don't respect the person playing against their team. I don't know how that kind of is now, but it's just
the world's changing, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think that everybody wants to... Man, we could go down a road. This was actually what you and I talked about, I think, in our second episode or third episode about what is fame and what is being successful. Like, people want to be famous. Everybody literally could have their own TV show, a reality show, by doing Facebook Live. And I think through that, maybe a little bit of respect is lost a little bit. Maybe ego begins to overcome reverence. And how we once viewed these stars or these people that we wanted to get to, now they're so there. We could literally see inside Serena Williams' life by going to her Snapchat and seeing that she loves tacos every day. I think maybe then it loses a little bit of its magic.
Yeah,
it loses a little bit of its appeal to, you know, it's interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see as, the, you know, the years go on and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, how sports evolves.
Yeah, we'll you know, I wish we had a time machine to see that, but it's pretty interesting. But
you,
right?
You bring up a good point, actually, with technology, because particularly, you know, I can't really speak for you being in America, but in the 80s and 90s for us, we would be lucky to have one game of basketball on a Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, you guys probably saw it every day, right? In terms of it being on, like, TNT or kind of ABC, you guys would have elite access to a game every day, correct?
I wish I could answer that specifically, but, you know, as a boy, all I remember is there'd be a game on, I'd watch with my dad. And I couldn't even tell you the channels. It'd be like, it seemed like whenever I wanted, I'd go in the living room, the Cavs would be on. So I'm sure that they weren't on like it is now. You could watch a game 24 hours a day.
You could buy the pass.
Sport.
You could buy the pass and get every single game.
I was watching college football this year. It's the first time since I've lived in Australia that I was able to watch Ohio State every game. Not only Ohio
State. Was that a pass, was it?
ESPN Game Day. Gamecast.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's on my tablet. And I was at work.
Is that free?
You sign in if you have Foxtel.
Okay.
So if you have Foxtel, you put your password
that's
in.
That's great for someone that's, you know, you're a fanatic.
Cleveland sports fan.
Yeah.
So I watched the World Series right out of our health club, Game 7, on that app. So it really is to, you know, it's an attribute to accessibility.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we want it now. But
yeah, it is accessibility. I still remember I first went to America in 1993, and the fact of getting a pair of Michael Jordan shoes, it was like, that was the be-all and end-all. We didn't have Michael Jordans in Australia. Like, it was just crazy.
Did you guys call them Michael Jordans?
Or Jordans.
Yeah, okay. Jordans. Yeah. People were killing each other for those. Because
crazy.
He took a lot of heat in the prime of his career because he was playing in Chicago. And Chicago is, you know, it has its nice parts, but it has its really bad parts.
Yeah.
It has a high murder rate. And he's a legend there, and he's an icon, and he has these shoes that totally, like, transformed hip-hop culture. It wasn't just basketball, Jordan. Jordan was a global icon on multiple different platforms. But these shoes would come out, and it would be a big deal when they would come out. And this is before social media. Everybody would steal how they line up for the phones at the Apple store.
Yeah.
They would do this for the Jays.
Yeah, they would, wouldn't they? Yeah.
But then what was happening is people were robbing people. You could Google this. You would see it all the time. Killing people over their Jordans.
Shoes.
Over a pair of shoes. And then it was like, why are you charging? He took heat for how much he charged for him. And his target market.
$100, wasn't it?
Yeah. And his target market were, you know, young people without any money.
Yeah.
And so he took heat for that.
You think that the way they're made, too, it's like costs about $10 to actually make.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with that. But once again, I think the point is consumerism. We all want, we live in this culture. We just want to buy and consume rather than create, man. It's really a big problem.
I think so as well, man. So that's a leaving point as well. I think that's
create, don't consume.
Yeah, great.
Terrence McKenna.
Don't consume and, you know, base a lot more. As Frank Zane said, focus on yourself, not on others.
There you go, man. Great point.
I don't think it's too great, actually, once.
That's a hell of a point. It
took us 20 minutes to actually get through there.
Yeah, but, man.
We got there.
We got some stuff off our chest. It was good. I like these Friday sessions.
Johnny, thank you for another great week, man. It was great to actually just to sit back and actually see you do your thing on the Monday episode. So
thanks, man. Thanks for listening. I was nervous. That was definitely one of the most nervous ones. The most nervous interview I've ever done.
You'll be better for it, my man.
I've never done anything like that before. Also, I'll share with you guys before we go, we leave DeMartini's room, me and you know, my boy Sam Drake, shout out, who recorded on video for us, and I didn't think I recorded it, so I'm using our piece of podcasting equipment.
Handy recorder.
Yeah, the handy recorder, and this thing's powerful, but there's a couple buttons that go into play, and I'm sitting outside the hotel room for like 15 minutes, it's super hot out, I'm wearing a tie, and I couldn't find the file, and I'm like, fuck, dude, I didn't press record. And the feeling, I had already gone through my mindset of, like, how I was going to tell you, like, how I was going to break it to you. Like,
you went there for 2 hours.
I came to terms with it.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah, but then we ended up finding it on the WAV file. So, yeah, it was nervous, nerve-wracking, great experience all in one. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Nah, definitely, guys. We're going to bring it again next week. So, stay tuned. We've got Gunnar Peterson and something else we've got. We've got DJ Tiger Lily coming.
Oh, yeah, Tiger Lily, Sydney, Australia's own up-and-coming DJ. She's already toured the world with the likes of Tiesto, the guy who's killing it, and she has a huge, huge following in Australia. Young girl following her dreams and passions, so I'm stoked to get her on.
No, it'd be great to pick the minds of, you know, somewhere different, you know what I mean? Like, I've never been in the DJ world, so I'm really, really intrigued.
We're stepping out.
Some of the preparation and some of the mindset stuff that she uses. So.
Yeah, definitely stepping out. I think she'll be our first musician. And, you know, it'd be a good chance to get some insight on somebody who like I said, is going for it. You know,
yeah,
going
local,
for the dream.
Local Sydney girl, so we'll do this one in person, which will be fantastic. So guys, stay tuned for that. And just before we go, just remember, please subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Share our shows, please, on Facebook, Twitter, Insta. Am I missing anything? Snappy.
Yeah, 5-star review, SoundCloud, the Vision Board Podcast. Follow Tristan Cannell on social and Johnny Stofko on all socials.
Guys, we hope you enjoy the Friday recap. If there's anything that we can kind of add on this day, we're more than willing to do it. If you've got questions, send them through, and we'll just feature them on the show. So it's a bit of an open session. So we appreciate you listening in, and we will chat to you next week.
Yeah, guys, stay tuned.
Peace.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching a niche, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.